This is Mayo Clinic Kids, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we discuss the latest pediatric research and recommendations to help keep your kids laughing and thriving. I'm Dr. Angela Matke, a pediatrician with Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. This episode, how do kids grow? Growing a child is like growing a plant, just to add water, except there are a few more steps involved. But much like plants, kids can be early bloomers or late bloomers. And some of those kids might end up visiting an endocrinologist like Dr. Siobhan Pittock.
I'll be really honest, the early bloomers, if they're just a little bit early, they never come see me. Mm-hmm. It's the late bloomers who are bothered. That's very satisfying in some ways to take care of because you can reassure families that this is not a disease. Don't worry, everything is great. But in some ways, it's dissatisfying because it's still hard if you're a 14-year-old boy and you look like an 11-year-old and all of your friends are shaving and they have deep voices and they're a foot taller than you.
Yeah, it's hard to just tell somebody, just a tincture of time, you will get there, right?
Just wait.
Growth underscores pretty much all of childhood. Sometimes it happens so slowly, it's easy to forget it's happening at all. And then it seems like your kid has gained 3 inches overnight. There's the fun side, watching kids get bigger, marking their height against the doorframe, growing into new clothes and out of old ones. But then there's the more complicated side. What if your kid's growing faster or slower than other kids their age? Because it's not just about physical health. Your kid's growth can also affect how their peers treat them and their self-esteem. So this episode is all about growing up, literally. How do you know if your kid is the right height and weight for their age? Are they growing fast enough? Are they growing too fast? And do we even have any control over the process? To help us unpack these questions, we're joined today by Dr. Siobhan Pittock. Siobhan is a pediatric endocrinologist at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Thank you so much for joining me today, Siobhan. It's great to have you, and I'm really excited to talk about growth.
I love talking about growth, so delighted to be here.
We'll talk all day. We'll talk everyone's ears off. Well, let's move in and talk about the basics about growth. What do kids need to grow?
People tend to think immediately of hormones.
Yeah.
But really, children need nutrition. They need to be safe. They need to be healthy. Mm-hmm. Worldwide, the most common cause for short stature is undernutrition, malnutrition.
Yep.
Not a super common thing that we see in the US, but we do see it.
Yeah.
So if I see a child who's undernourished and they're not growing, we have to fix the nutrition first, and then we go from there. Major stress can actually look just like growth hormone deficiency, neglect, severe trauma for a child. They may not grow. Again, luckily, not super common. And obviously, they need their hormones to work. Thyroid hormone is really important for growth. Growth hormone is really important for growth. Mm-hmm. Children who have serious medical conditions, very uncontrolled inflammatory bowel disease or asthma, or if they're on medications, sometimes for common diseases, high dose steroids that are taken a lot for asthma can interfere. Mm-hmm. If children have major stress, like they're going through chemotherapy for cancer, they'll have a period that they won't grow too well. And so a child not growing at all is always a concern.
So kids need food. They need nutrition. They need sleep. They need exercise. They need safety. They need to not be in a toxic, stressful environment, right? So once the body's getting all of those things, what is the part that it's actually starting to tell the body to start growing or to stop growing when they're done with their growth spurt?
There are so many hormones involved in growth. The main drivers of growth would be thyroid hormone and growth hormone from a hormone standpoint. The stopping growth is fascinating. Mm-hmm. What stops us growing is actually when our growth plates close. So you've heard that children have more bones than adults. They don't actually have more bones, but on an X-ray, it looks like they have more bones. And that's because While the radius, for instance, that big forearm bone, if you take an x-ray of my radius, it's one bone. Mm-hmm. If you take a picture of a child's radius, it looks like one long bone, but then at the wrist, there's this little extra bone.
Yeah.
It's actually all the one, but there's this soft cartilage growth plate part that doesn't show up white on an x-ray. And so those are growth plates. So while you have growth plates that are open, you can grow. You should grow if everything else that we talked about is working well. But when those growth plates are closed, you will not grow taller. What closes those growth plates? Puberty. Really interesting, actually, people generally recognize that testosterone is the male sex hormone. Mm-hmm. Estrogen is the female sex hormone. It's actually estrogen in boys and girls that closes the growth plates.
Are you serious? I feel like I never knew that.
There you go. You learn something new every time you talk to me.
It's true.
A tiny bit of testosterone in boys gets converted to estrogen, and then it's the estrogen that closes their growth plates. So before puberty, children are growing, and then those sex hormones kick in, and then as they increase and time passes, those growth plates close, and that's what stops us growing.
We've talked about habits and mostly things that we can control, like eating and nutrition without extenuating circumstances. But what about those things that we really can't control?
Yeah.
What about genetics? Like, how does that affect how kids grow?
Genetics plays a huge part. And you see it. There are tall families. There are shorter families. You'll occasionally see, you know, a 5-foot mother have a 10-pound baby. It is incredibly unlikely that that 10-pound baby is going to be a 6'4" adult because their mother is 5 feet tall. So both genetic parents contribute to the height. And in fact, there's a really nice way to calculate out to give us an estimate. It's not perfect because if it was perfect, well, then all biologic sisters would be the exact same height. All biologic brothers would be the exact same height. And it's not that. But generally, sisters with the same parents are around about the same height.
That did not work out.
Around about.
For me.
It didn't work out for
no.
you? Oh my gosh, we have to talk. So generally, we calculate this number called the mid-parental height. What we do is if this is a biologic girl, we say, okay, your parents were a man and a woman. We convert and we say, your father was X height. If he were a woman, that's equivalent to, and it's 5 inches less, because on average, men are 5 inches taller than women. And then we've got two sort of equivalent female heights, and then we average it. And that's how we calculate the mid-parental height. Most children, when they grow up, about 80% or so, will end up within 2 inches of that mid-parental height. So when people say, how will I know what height I'll be? And isn't it something about when you're 2 years old or when you're 3 years old or when you're 5 years old? Can't you calculate that? Actually, a better estimate of how tall you're going to be is just looking at the parents' heights. Mm-hmm. But it's 80%. It is not 100%. And we all know, you're telling me you were an outlier in your house. We all know that there are people who don't fall within similar heights to siblings or close to the mid-parental height, even people without any disease. There's a lot more complicated genetics too, and certainly there are genes that predispose people, and variants in certain genes can affect height, and you might pick up that gene from one parent and the other siblings didn't pick it up. So broadly speaking, mid-parental height is a really good way, and tall parents tend to have tall children. Shorter parents tend to have shorter children.
So I'm 5'3", my husband's 6'4". So my kids will probably be average height, right? If we're thinking about I'm a little bit shorter than average, my husband's taller than average.
Absolutely. They'll probably kind of in the middle, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's this idea out there that you can predict a child's future height at 2 years old just by doubling it. Is that actually true?
It depends on how accurate you think is reasonable. I would think it's not super accurate to just double. It will give you ballpark, maybe within 4 inches, but 4 inches is a big difference in terms of an adult height. So when I'm asked what height will my baby be, I tend to lean towards what height are the parents.
You know why it also feels less accurate is it's really hard to get an accurate height measurement on a 2-year-old. I mean,
you know,
seriously.
I was going to say that. I thought, well, if you can even measure them.
Throwing a fit when it's time to put them on the scale and measure them. Like that's usually what happens in my office because it's hard, you know, those are transitions for kids.
And that's actually a not infrequent reason, believe it or not, that I get to see two-year-olds mm-hmm. in clinic because they just haven't been measured accurately. The other really yeah. interesting thing, before the age of two, you may have noticed we always measured children lying down. Mm-hmm. And if you're lying down, you should be put on a chart for a lying down measurement. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, why are you being so fussy? Well, when you stand up, you're actually shorter than when you're lying down because all of those vertebrae, all of your backbones kind of plunk, 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 sit down on each other like a sandwich.
Yeah.
And they squish the sandwich, the discs between the vertebrae. So actually between two and three, there are charts that will do both. Mm-hmm. There are charts that you can measure a height. And then you should be measuring a height and putting them on a height chart. Or you can choose, if you like, to measure them lying down. And that's a common reason that, believe it or not, I'll see children in clinic because it looks like, gosh, they haven't grown yeah. a lot. And then it's the most magical thing. I say, let's measure them lying down. And guess what? They've grown beautifully.
I can't tell you how many times in my office as I see a kid all of a sudden who's not growing well and I march them out there myself. I measure myself. You know, it's hard sometimes if your kid is fussing to like make them do something. But sometimes when the doctor is like, if this is actually true, I probably have to do a blood draw and I need to do an x-ray. Getting them to cooperate is just a little bit more important than those situations.
And I find myself just asking permission from parents. Like, I know they're not going to like this.
I'm just
going to
stretch
really
them out.
Need to do it. And we need somebody to hold that
their head. Yep.
Hold it really firmly against that surface. And I'm going to stretch them out and they might scream, but it'll only take us a few seconds if we get it right. And it's so important because you're right. If it looks like they're not growing, they can end up having major evaluations, totally unnecessary blood draws and stress and worry for the family just because we couldn't take that discomfort.
But you know, it's 3 seconds of discomfort versus blood draws and all those other things and appointments. So I think it's important for parents to understand like why we want to do that sometimes.
Pregnancy is an important time in our lives, full of thrills, unknowns, critical decisions, and big celebrations. You don't have to navigate any of those moments alone. In the book, you'll get the latest expertise from Mayo Clinic specialists, month-by-month chapters, milestones to watch for, and key steps in your prenatal care. Get your copy of Mayo Clinic Guide to a Healthy Pregnancy today at mcpress.mayoclinic.org and use code KIDS for 10% off your order. That's KIDS for 10% off your order.
So for most kids to grow well, the recipe is simple. Nutrition, sleep, exercise, and a safe, non-stressful environment. If your kid is generally healthy, then their growth hormone, thyroid hormone, and a few other hormones will do their jobs. Your kid will continue to grow until their growth plates close at the end of puberty. It's hard to predict exactly how tall your kid will end up, but calculating the mid-parental height is usually the best bet. To estimate that, you can add up their biological parents' heights, add or subtract 5 inches based on sex, then divide that number in half. And if your kid fusses or screams when you or your doctor tries to measure them, that's okay. We don't want to cause any more discomfort than we have to, but it's important to get that measurement right so we don't have to do more serious evaluations down the line. And it makes a difference if your kid is standing or lying down. So make sure you're using the right growth chart. So obviously, we want to make sure kids are growing, full stop. But we also want to know how they're growing. So let's talk more about the signs of healthy growth or signs that something might need a closer look.
I love my growth charts. I feel like I'm an endocrinologist kind of, but I'm a pediatrician because I also live and die by my growth charts.
Growth charts are amazing.
They are, and kids grow in predictable patterns. And so that gets to talking a little bit more about what those predictable patterns and what that growth looks like in kids, because it should be very predictable. So what kind of things do we measure in a doctor's office to keep track of growth?
We measure length. Now you all know length is different from height. We measure length, weight, and in infants, actually, we also measure the head circumference, that measuring tape around the head, which is really important because there are neurologic issues predominantly that can really affect head growth in infants. We typically don't measure the head frequently unless there's a specific concern after the age of 3. And then depending on whether you're going to switch to that standing chart at the age of 2 or at the age of 3, they'll be measured standing up and always checking the weight. We should check the length very frequently in that first year or two of life. And then you'll notice when children are older, we actually measure less commonly. And that's not just because we don't bother, but because children grow more slowly when they're a bit older. So there's no point in measuring them 3 months later.
And how often we measure is because how fast kids are growing, right? So how fast is that usually?
In infancy, children grow super fast. The fastest anyone will ever grow is in their first year of life. Children grow 10 inches in that first year. I always tell my families when we're talking about growth, it's the only time, maybe outside of pregnancy, where you have to change clothes size every 3 months. So if you think about clothing sizes, it kind of matches the speed of growth. Mm-hmm. You've got 0 to 3 months, 3 to 6, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, and then often 12 to 18. Mm-hmm. So it's still pretty fast growth, 18 to 2 years. And then you switch into 2T, 3T, 4T.
Exactly.
Then oftentimes 6 to 8, 8 to 10, 10 to 12. Children grow super fast during the first year. And then between 1 and 3, it's starting to kind of slow down to 4-ish inches a year. And then really from about the age of 3 until they hit puberty, children grow at a pretty steady rate, mm-hmm. 2 inches, give or take, some a little faster, some a little slower. And then children speed up again during puberty. So it's really very steady. And I'm a parent too, and I totally am victim to this too. We all think, oh my gosh, he hasn't grown in ages. Whoa, he had a growth spurt. But if you actually measure children, they grow very, very steadily. And then, yes, absolutely, during puberty, they'll have a period when they're growing quickly, but they don't stop, stagger, jump up. It's not like a step. It's very much a hill, not a stop and start.
Absolutely. What's happening in the body during those growth spurts where they're going through like faster rates of growth? And what's triggering the body to all of a sudden take off and grow at 7 to 9 centimeters a year?
So that's during puberty. So during puberty, it's a combination. The sex hormones themselves mm-hmm. promote growth, and also the amount of growth hormone that the body produces increases in response to the sex hormones. So it's interesting when we're measuring growth hormone levels in children, they increase slightly with age, and then they increase a huge amount depending on the stage of puberty a child is at, because you secrete more growth hormone and you secrete growth hormone pulses. Growth hormone is secreted by the pituitary, which is a gland in the brain, and that gland just gives squirts of growth hormone every so often, and it gives bigger squirts more frequently during puberty. And again, the same time as they're doing that, they're also maturing those growth plates at a faster rate, and ultimately at the end of puberty, the growth plates will be closed.
So you mentioned that what's really concerning is when kids don't grow. Mm-hmm. So how can parents know if their kids are at a proper weight and height and growth pattern?
Growth charts. Growth charts really are an incredible resource. The growth charts that we use in the US are based on the US population. So the US population, I always tell my patients, is made up of a mix. My Irish children, though they're American, I think of them as Irish. The African-American children, Chinese children, Mexican children, Hispanic children, all sorts of the mix that makes up this mm-hmm. country. It's that mix of children that went into making these growth charts. We use the CDC growth charts typically, although in the first 2 years of life, we tend to use ones created by the World Health Organization. So it's really important when you bring your child for their well child visit that you just take a peek at the growth chart. People don't have to stay on exactly the same line, but they should be in the same part of the growth chart. Zigzags don't happen in height. Mm-hmm. So children don't shrink and grow. So if it looks like your child has shrunk on a growth chart, just let's try and get an accurate measurement.
And if a kid doesn't seem to be growing the way you'd expect, what are you looking for or trying to rule out?
The first thing I will look at is, well, where are they on the growth chart? The second thing I will look at is, have they been growing? So is this a child who is low on the growth chart, but has always been low on the growth chart and is growing? That's far less concerning to me. Mm-hmm. Or is this a child who isn't growing? So a child who is not growing, I think I said it earlier, is always a concern. Obviously, after puberty, they're allowed not to grow. But before that, it's always a concern. Like I said, worldwide, the biggest reason for that is malnutrition. Not a huge issue in the US, but we see children with malnutrition because of eating disorders. We also need to take a really good history. Mm-hmm. If a child is overall well, they will grow. If a child has a serious medical illness, sometimes the first time it shows up is that they're not growing. Whether that's kidney disease, liver disease, celiac disease, there are totally non-hormone related things. We ask about belly symptoms. We ask about urine symptoms. We ask about any symptoms that could represent liver disease. And then if all of those things are good, we'll ask more directed questions that could make us think about a specific hormone issue. And there are three hormone issues that cause children not to grow. Lack of thyroid hormone. We tend to think of thyroid hormone as only being important for grown-ups or people being miserable and tired and gaining weight. But actually in children, lack of growth is the biggest thing that we see when they don't have enough thyroid hormone. Lack of growth hormone kind of makes sense. It's in the name. If children don't make growth hormone, they will grow very poorly. And then the third one is a much more rare one. It's if their body has, for whatever reason, too much cortisol or stress hormone. So cortisol is a steroid. So whether you have too much of it because you have a rare disease where you're making too much, that's called Cushing's. Or you have too much of it because you have some very serious medical condition that you're needing to receive a lot of steroids, that can really interfere with your growth as well. Mm-hmm. And it has the same effect. Beyond that, there are many, many other conditions. In the big picture of all of the children I see for short stature, it would be a tiny minority who end up having a genetic diagnosis, a genetic syndrome.
You talked a little bit about those kids that are late bloomers. How do you tell the difference between a child that is potentially going to be a late bloomer versus something that maybe is more concerning that needs evaluation?
Late bloomer is a diagnosis of exclusion. So we check for the other things. So we will want to know, do they have any symptoms of any other concerning underlying disease? And if there are no red flags and their puberty is late, and often there's a family history. So the late bloomer grows normally throughout childhood, but oftentimes they are smaller than you expect them to be for their family. So the typical pattern of a late bloomer is that sometime during the first 2 years of life, they drop to a lower line on the chart than you'd expect for their family. So their parents may have concerns and say, you know, why is she on the 10th percentile? Everyone else is on the 75th percentile. But they'll typically grow normally. And then when their friends are going through puberty, friends are all speeding up. So then this child is saying, what is wrong? Everybody else is having a growth spurt and I'm not. Mm-hmm. So in terms of telling the difference between that and something more sinister, obviously, if the pattern fits, we think, ooh, this is kind of fitting the pattern. Is there a family history? So we always ask when mother had her first period. We'll always ask when did father have his growth spurt? Men, it's not as obvious. So oftentimes we'll say, did you grow after high school? Mm-hmm. If a man grew after high school, for sure he was a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes these late bloomers have a family history of late blooming. They don't have to, but if there's a family history of that, it's reasonable to say it fits the pattern and we don't need to do anything at all. Mm-hmm. One test, though, that is very frequently done that is incredibly helpful is to check how old the bones look. You will grow until your growth plates close. So if your growth plates seem like they are younger than your age, that's telling all of us that you are going to grow for longer. So if you're 12 years old and your bones think you're 10, it means that you have the growth left to do of a 10-year-old, not the growth left to do of a 12-year-old. A 12-year-old is typically sixth grade. So if I see a smaller 12-year-old who has delayed puberty, I'll say, okay, you're in sixth grade, your bones, no other part of your body, but just your bones, not your brain, not your maturity, nothing else.
Right.
Your bones think you're in fourth grade.
Yep.
So if you went into the fourth grade class, look around. You're really average height for the fourth graders. And so don't worry. That's what we anticipate you're going to do. You're just going to kind of grow along with the fourth graders. So a bone age is incredibly helpful for telling us about those late bloomers. The bone age will seem younger than the actual age.
So if there's one big takeaway here, it's growth charts. They're what doctors use to track growth, and you can keep tabs on your kids' growth charts as well. Kids grow the most during their first year of life. After 2 years, their growth rate usually steadies to about 2 inches a year until puberty. An easy way to remember this is to think about different clothing sizes and the ages associated with them. And contrary to popular belief, growth isn't all spurts and stops. Most growth happens at a pretty steady rate. If your kid's not growing or growing more slowly than expected, step one is to work with your doctor to make sure their measurement is accurate. If it's correct, we'll start to look for signs of poor nutrition like an eating disorder, any underlying diseases it could be a symptom of, or any potential issues with hormones. And if your kid's a late bloomer, it's generally not a cause for concern. We'll make sure there aren't any other issues at play. But if there's a family history of late blooming and your kid's growth is otherwise following a pattern, they're likely doing just fine. So we know how kids grow and what we look for in a doctor's office. Let's talk a bit about what we're doing at home. You know, obviously doctors, we are measuring kids at their annual checkups. But for parents that want to keep an eye on things, do you recommend that they keep track of their kids' growth at home? And if they decide to do so, any tips on how to do it accurately?
Oh, I don't know. Yes and no. Measuring children super often can actually be difficult. Even for me, a growth doctor, even if I'm really concerned about a child's growth, I will say my bare minimum gap between measurements is 4 months. And typically 6 months. And it's just because the amount of error, even though we have specialized equipment and we are super fussy and we do it ourselves, you can be off by a little bit and then it can cause a lot of concern. Whereas obviously, if you leave a wider gap between measurements, well, then if you're a few millimeters off, it's still going to look okay. Having said that, of course, there's no problem if you want to measure at home. It is difficult, but I can tell you what I do with my boys at home when they say measure me and see how tall they are. I stand them up barefoot against a flat part of the doorframe. And I use one of those metal measuring tapes, you know, the retractable ones. I use a metal one because that kind of stays stiff. Mm-hmm. There's always a hook at the bottom of it and I'll put that at the bottom and then I'll put that up on the wall behind them and then I'll just stand them up against it.
Nice.
And do it that way. It's hard to do it and children will kind of move their heads around and their necks should be stretched out. But when you at home, you try to stretch them out, they'll go on their tippy toes.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Do your best. Yep. I think once a year, children absolutely should be measured. And when they're younger, like I said, children are growing so fast that it is reasonable to measure them more often. But don't stress too much. If you see something on the measurement at home that makes you concerned, just bring them in and have them measure properly. Mm-hmm. And many places you can just do a quick nurse visit and do a measurement and someone will review it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of more of a societal question, but do you think that our culture and society has realistic attitudes about height and weight in kids?
Oh, don't get me started.
I do want to get you started, please.
Yeah, no, it is really hard. Yeah. I think I told you about the teenage boy who is not as tall as his friends because his puberty is later. It's really, really hard. Of course, it shouldn't be hard, but it is hard. And unfortunately, body image, there are certain expectations that girls look a particular way, that boys look a particular way, and children don't always go through puberty changes at the same time as their friends. And unfortunately, we can see a lot of distress. Unfortunately, taller is deemed as a more favorable attribute. I know you're an eating disorder specialist, Angie, so you see it. There's this striving for thinness. There's also this striving that goes on for height, for being
Absolutely.
Tall. That's often unrealistic.
Yeah.
I don't know how to fix it.
That probably comes to your office, right? And come in,
yeah.
You know, what can we do to make our kid grow taller? Yeah. So what do you tell them in those situations?
We talk about a lot of the things we've talked about here.
Yeah.
What is growth? What is normal growth? Absolutely. The last thing I want to do is miss abnormal growth and miss an underlying problem.
Right.
We talk about genetic predicted potential. We talk about what's a realistic expectation for your family. If this is your height, this is biologic mom's height, this is biologic dad's height. We talk about just normal, healthy things, what you can do, good sleep, healthy diet, maintaining a normal weight. Those are all things that will optimize what your child is able to do. And then trying to set some realistic expectations. I don't know, should I even say this? Most children, if you give them growth hormone, will grow taller.
Yeah.
That does not mean every child should get growth hormone.
Absolutely.
Believe me, I'm a big user of growth hormone when it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of conditions where it's appropriate and it's wonderful to have a treatment that works. But we shouldn't be giving people growth hormone just because we can and just mm-hmm. because they want to be taller if they're going to be a normal height.
What are some of those conditions where you would actually give growth hormone?
So there's certain FDA-approved indications. Not surprisingly, growth hormone deficiency. There are certain genetic conditions, Prader-Willi syndrome, Turner syndrome, Noonan syndrome. These are all syndromes that are associated with very significant short stature where growth hormone has been shown to help. I'm not going through an exhaustive list here, but just to give you a sense. So children who have kidney failure grow very, very poorly, and we know that they respond well to growth hormones. Probably the most controversial of FDA-approved indications is idiopathic short stature.
Mm-hmm.
Idiopathic short stature is a catch-all term. It's because doctors don't like to sound foolish, but it is short stature when I have no clue why. We have exhausted all of the tests that we know, and so we say, oh, I don't know, you're short, and I don't know why. So what is idiopathic short stature? Like, how small? This is where a lot of the interest in growth hormone has grown.
Right.
And we know that not all, but many, many children with idiopathic short stature will grow taller with growth hormone. We're allowed to give it FDA-wise, if you are destined to be under 5'3" as a boy, as an adult, mm-hmm. or 4'11" as a girl.
Gotcha.
And so those cutoffs have been considered for, if you're going to be shorter than that, that's reasonable to give growth hormone. There are many folks who want growth hormone, even though they're destined to be much taller than that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was fabulous to learn more about growth and that estrogen is involved in closing the growth plates with sex assigned male at birth. So yeah, that's very interesting.
I'm delighted that I was able to add something to your growth knowledge as a pediatrician.
I don't know how I didn't know that. Maybe I did and I forgot it. I mean, the number of things I've forgotten over the years, but thanks again.
So if you want to keep an eye on your kid's growth, you can measure them at home. It's best to wait a minimum of 4 to 6 months between measurements, and it's a good idea to measure at least once a year. That way, your kid will grow enough between measurements that it's easy to see the difference. It's hard to get precise measurements at home, so if you're ever unsure, you can take your kid for a nurse visit to get measured. And as we know, almost everyone wants to be taller and thinner. But remember, health and happiness can come in all shapes and sizes. The best we can do is take good care of our kids so they grow to their maximum potential. Make sure they get plenty of sleep, eat a nutritious diet, and have healthy, realistic expectations. That's all for this episode, but if you have a question or a topic suggestion, you can leave us a voicemail at 507-538-6272. We might even feature your voice on the show. For more Mayo Clinic Kids episodes and resources, check out our website at mayoclinic.org/kids. Okay, thanks for listening.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as medical or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified healthcare provider for any medical questions. The appearance of any guest does not imply an endorsement of them, their employer, or any entity they represent. The views and opinions are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of Mayo Clinic. Reference to any product, service, or entity does not constitute an endorsement of or recommendation by Mayo Clinic. And just one more thing. If you found this show helpful, please subscribe and make sure to rate and review us on your podcast app. It really does help others to find the show.